Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I've got some work for you this morning. And it will come at the end of the service, come at the end of the message. I was really struck this week with the responsibility that I have to care for you, to care for your souls, to lead us to Jesus, and to really live out our faith. And so at the end of the message, I really have an application. In fact, the message, I suppose, would be an application. I'd like you to consider, if you would, following through on what I'm going to share with you. Somehow, as I was thinking about this moment that we're going to have together now, that we're having together, it wasn't that I wanted to just bring an encouragement, although I didn't want this to be discouraging. But not just an encouragement in this Christmas season. I really wanted to bring some practical direction for you, for us, in this Christmas season. And so that's where we're headed, is something I'm going to ask you, invite you, encourage you, challenge you, exhort you to do this Christmas. As we walk into Christmas. Now, if you have the app, you're welcome to join me. There's sermon notes on the app. For those of you joining us online, you won't be able to see the screen behind me, but you can follow along the notes in the app. It's under More and then the sermon notes. But as I was thinking about our church and thinking about you, I don't want you to miss Christmas this year. I don't want you to miss Christmas. If we're looking for a title for the message, this is called Experiencing Christmas. I don't want you to miss it. Sometimes our experience can be different than from what we were expecting Christmas to look like. Maybe it's a hospital visit. Maybe you're unwell. Maybe your finances have not worked out as you were expecting them to this year. Maybe family isn't able to join you, or maybe you're going to be away. Maybe you have to work over Christmas, including Christmas Day. Sometimes Christmas can look very, very different. Sometimes our disappointments of what we were hoping for, what we were expecting, our disappointments can overshadow our experience. And I so don't want that to happen for you. My hope is that you won't miss Christmas. My hope is that when we get to January, we don't look back and say, I missed it. What happened? How did we get to January here already? It was a blur. Well, I guess I'll try again next year. See, sometimes we can experience things. We live through them, but we miss the experience because we weren't paying attention or we were distracted or life happens. I don't know all the reasons. But I don't want you to miss Christmas this year because, loved ones, there's something that happens at Christmas. There is a spiritual wonder of Christmas. There is spiritual warfare that happens at Easter. We see that, and I've said this for years. When you go into the shopping malls, you do not hear what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? We don't hear those hymns in the shopping malls or at workplaces. But right now, we hear joy to the world, angels we have heard on high. We hear the gospel message being sung and preached in so many environments. There is an open door at Christmas, unlike any other throughout the year. There is spiritual warfare at Easter, but there's such a spiritual wonder at Christmas where there's an open door of opportunity. The Apostle Paul, he will say this in 1 Corinthians 16. He says, for a great and effective door has been opened to me. He's talking about ministry and the gospel going forward. And I really think that is the time that we're in today, like right now here on December 8th. Thank you. Team, all right. On December 8th, here at this time, there is a great and effective door open to us. And I don't want to miss it. I told our worship team at a gathering that we had a little while ago that I had an experience, not at Christmas, but I had an experience in Hawaii that I missed. A number of years ago, my sister Valerie, myself, Audrey, we were on the island of Kauai. Kauai is the garden island. And so it's very distinct. The Hawaiian islands, they're very unique in their flavor. There's the Lanai, the pineapple island. There's the big island of Hawaii, which where the active volcanoes are and the lava flow. But Kauai. Kauai is the garden island. And I just can't tell you how beautiful the Kauai is. So many waterfalls, such beauty. Well, years ago, we took a helicopter ride that was really expensive, but we wanted to just see the island by air. And so we took this helicopter ride. And so we would go near to the waterfalls and over the island. At one point, we had to go out more over the ocean because we couldn't fly over Sylvester Stallone's house. It just kind of had to skirt that. And like it was a beautiful experience. But you know, I didn't want to miss any of it. I wanted to remember this was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So I had a video camera. Now, this is years ago when you couldn't just video off your cell phone. I don't know that we had a cell phone. But I remember... In the helicopter, there was even a line out that you could plug into your video camera because people did this. And so the audio, as the pilot's talking, he's got music playing in the background, it all gets fed directly right into my camera. This is going to be fantastic. And so I begin videoing it right from takeoff all over the island until we land. I'm recording this. Now my camera, even though it videoed in color, I was looking through a black and white viewfinder because I was so excited knowing that when we got home, we would want to watch this video, this hour-long video, over and over again. And I know that our friends and family would want to do that as well. You want to know how many times I've watched that video? Zero. I think we know. I checked the recording initially. I still have the Hi-H tape somewhere. I'd have to get it transferred to digital, but I had this experience that I completely missed. Went on the helicopter ride and saw it in black and white through a little camera. It's very similar to when we go to Global Fest most every year, and we watch people videoing the entire fireworks. It's like you are missing it. Look, put the camera away. Look at what's happening. I feel so embarrassed about missing the experience that we paid so much money for. Not only have I missed a moment like that, maybe you've been like this too. Have you ever gotten home after a long day and you don't know how you got there? See, distracted driving is really dangerous, but so is tired driving. And I know there have been times when I pulled into my driveway or parked in front of my house on the street, and I sat there and I thought, how did I get here? I mean, if I would take the time, I could think back and know the route that I went, but I don't remember going through that intersection. I don't remember if the light was green or red. There's no sense that I thought that I did something wrong, but I couldn't remember. How did I get here? Because I'm so tired or distracted. Years ago, and this will be the last illustration, years ago, when we lived in Airdrie, one of the things that we loved to do was go to the Festival of Lights. So there's a park in Airdrie called Nose Creek Park, and the city sets up, and all kinds of volunteers set up all of these beautiful light displays. And you get to go and walk through them in the park. They've got hot chocolate set up. They've got bonfires. It's a marvelous, marvelous endeavor that happens every year in Airdrie. It's on right now. Well, tonight. It's not so great in the daytime. It's better at night with all the lights. And as my extended family, we would often gather at our home, and then at some point during the Christmas season, we would go and walk through the Festival of Lights. Well, I remember going one year, but it was really cold. It was bitterly cold. And we always think on that night, you know, we should have gone earlier. But it's drawing to a close, and it's like, okay, we're going to go. And my dad wanted to come. My dad was north of 80 at the time. I don't remember how old he was. But he would still regularly, he would go to Market Mall early in the morning, and he would walk the mall for exercise and for fellowship and relationship with people. And he would walk, and he was fast. And so my dad wanted to come with us, and so we went and bundled everybody up, and it was cold. And when he got out of the car, he started to walk. Well, we needed to walk with him. And so away we went right after him, jogging through the Festival of Lights, trying to catch Rudolph, right? It's cold out, and his nose is red. All of our noses are red. We get back to the car after we did the circuit all around, trying to keep up with him. We get back to the car, and we go home, and that was a blur. And we still talk about the time we missed the Festival of Lights, even though we walked through it. So there are experiences that we participate in or we go through that we miss even though we live through it. And I don't want you to miss Christmas this year. I don't want you to miss it. Because I think one of the most significant ways that we can experience Christmas this year is not only remembering Christmas is about Jesus, but that we experience Christmas with Jesus. Is that we don't only remember that Christmas is about Jesus, but loved ones, that this year we experience Christmas with Jesus. If you have your Bibles, if you're going to follow along on the screen, if you're on the app, chapter 1, verse 18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Emmanuel, which is translated, or which means God with us. Dear ones, but that English has been translated from the Greek. And that Greek has been translated from the Hebrew. See, Matthew, when he reads this, when he writes this, and we read this in English, he's writing in Greek, but he's quoting Isaiah, which is written in Hebrew. This is what Isaiah said. Isaiah 7:14, this is the verse, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she'll call his name Emmanuel. And that's why Matthew explains to us, writing in Greek, what the Hebrew word means. She'll call his name Emmanuel, and he takes the next step, which means, or which is translated, God with us, from Hebrew to Greek to English. It's translated God with us, and so for us to be able to understand the incarnation, it had to be translated to us into a language that we can understand. And so my thought, these next few moments that we have together, my thought for us today is how can Emmanuel, God with us, be translated for you into your life this Christmas season? How can God with us translate into your day tomorrow when you go to work, when you go to school, when whatever your day unfolds? How can God with us, how does that translate into our lives, not just the meaning of the words from Hebrew to Greek to English, but translate it into an experience this Christmas? How does that translate to us and translate for us? Because I think the way that we can experience Christmas this year is not just that Christmas is about Jesus, but we can experience Christmas with Jesus, living in an awareness of Emmanuel, that God is with us. See, one of the problems that took place when Jesus first came, that Matthew's writing about, John will tell us this. John 1 verse 10 says this: He was in the world, speaking of Jesus, He was in the world and the world was made through Him. And it's this phrase, and the world did not know Him. Even though He was with us, people didn't know Him. And so I think in order to experience Christmas with Jesus, it must be this. It must be mindful and it must be intentional. And that's when I talked about an assignment or a response or an application, that's what we're at right now, is that to experience Christmas with Jesus, it can't be accidental. It needs to be mindful and it needs to be intentional. See, sometimes I do things and my mind wanders. I don't know if that happens to you or not. But sometimes my family will say to me, while they're talking to me, where are you right now? And I will say, I'm sorry. I was actually working on the insurance on our new building. Or I'm sorry, I was just thinking about Isaac and I know that I need to call and check in and see how he is. Or I'm sorry, I was just thinking about Finn McCool's at Cross Iron Mills. The fish and chips there is excellent and I need to order that tomorrow. You know, like, it's not all the spiritual stuff. It's just like, where are you right now? And I will pause and say, I'm sorry, I wasn't here. Speaking of eating, you can mindlessly eat. How did that entire bag of chips disappear? What happened? I was just watching the show. Or you're in such a hurry that you wolfed down your food and didn't taste it. You had the experience. It just happened so quickly. Unless, of course, it's Nina's wonton soup. That is a spiritual experience as well. But if we're going to experience Christmas, we need to do it intentionally and mindfully. And here's three things that will help us. Three things to help with experiencing Christmas with Jesus. This hopefully will help you, will help us translate God with us into our lives. It's very simple. It's not complicated, but it has to be intentional. It has to be a choice, and you have to set time aside. Number one, would you start your day with Him? Time alone with Jesus. Start your day with Him. Now, I am not talking about morning devotions. Some people, many of us, will get up early to read our Bible and pray and spend time with the Lord. That's wonderful strength. Some people are not such morning people. They need to do their devotions when they're more awake or have time at night, whatever it is. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about starting your day with Him and inviting Him specifically into your day. What we're talking about is God with us. So we're beginning our day by inviting Him into our day. And I would recommend and suggest specifically, whatever appointments you have that day, whatever your agenda or your plan looks like that day, as much as you know how the day will unfold, people that you're going to be with, would you just take time? So this isn't devotions. This isn't reading your Bible, God speaking to you out of that. Do that. But this is the moment with Jesus saying, Lord, this is what my day looks like. I invite you. I invite you into my day. I invite you into this appointment. I invite you into this encounter. I invite you into when I'm with this person. I invite you in as many things as you know that your day holds. Just pause and invite the Lord. And as we start that, and so I did that this morning. And as I was doing that, I began to say things, Lord, would you guard my heart as I am in church? I just spent time when I'm in the foyer before people, before the service starts. God, would you help me not be careless with my words? Would you help me as I speak, as we gather together? Would you help me afterwards? Jesus, I invite you to shape me so that what comes out of me today will honor you. And I just began to talk about, and there's other things that my day holds. I just invited him into it. For some, you might take a long time. For others, it might just be a brief pause. Jesus, I invite you. And so what we're doing in that is we are not anticipating his absence. We're expecting his presence. God with us. We're not anticipating our day where Jesus will be absent. We are inviting him, welcoming him into our day. First thing as we start. Then secondly, would you look for his presence during the day? As you go through the day, would you, I guess the most simple way to put it would be, pay attention. Pay attention. Don't leave it just where you prayed in the morning first thing. But then as you go throughout the day, pay attention to where God may be at work. And even you may repeatedly end up praying, Lord, help me be aware of your presence. The people that we're talking with, maybe there's a hurt in their life that the Holy Spirit will give us a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. We're able to minister. Word of knowledge is knowing something. Word of wisdom is knowing what to do with it. Just because you see something right away doesn't mean you need to say something right away. And so Lord, fill me and just help me be aware of your presence in whatever I'm facing. And then thirdly, it's going to sound just so very similar. Thirdly, is would you reflect on your day? And this is where the real work happens. Would you reflect on your day? And I can't encourage you strongly enough to write this down. Three most powerful words, I love you. The three most practical words, write it down. Just take the time to write this down. Sometimes people will call this, and what I'm going to share with you is adapted from the Examen, E-X-A-M-E-N. Write it down. But as you conclude your day, number one, would you ask God for light? God, would you show me? As I now reflect on my day, would you show me what I need to see? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open my eyes that I might see just the things I'm going to pray for right now. I'm going to write down. Would you show me? Ask God for light. God, touch my eyes. Let me see as I look back and reflect on my day. And so then we start in reviewing your day. Looking back, remember we prayed, God, we invite you into my day. During the day we're saying, God, just help me be aware of your presence. And now is the time to stop and look and say, okay, God, where were you? Where were you in my day? And allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate where God's fingerprints were on your life, where you can see. And there may be things that he just speaks to your heart. You know how frustrated you were in traffic today? I saved you from a car accident at that next intersection. Remember how, and he will speak to you. Where were you today? And with thanks, you'll be able to offer thanks. God, thank you. Thank you for the encounter that I had with this person. I recognize that you were present. God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for strength today. Oh man, I was so frustrated at work and paused in your presence, and I could see that you filled me with, well, you maybe didn't fill me with patience, but you added some patience. And I was able to get through that without coming unglued. Whatever it is, to just pause, say, Lord, thank you. I look back and I see that I experienced this day with you. And then to acknowledge your shortcomings. Not in any sense of condemnation, but in a place of where we can say, Lord, would you forgive me? And we can look back in our day and say, I may have come across just fine, but I know my heart wasn't right. I know I said those words, but there was an unnecessary edge to them. I know that, and whatever it is, not any sense of condemnation, but just coming transparent before the Lord. I regularly pray, search me, O God, and try me. Search me and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, would you just search me? Where did I fall short? Because I don't want to do it again. And His Holy Spirit gently points out right there. And sometimes it's really hard because the Holy Spirit will say to me, Barry, you knew it at the time and didn't do anything about it. It's not like, oh, I never thought of that. Barry, you knew it at the time and you still did it. Or you didn't turn. You didn't ask for forgiveness for your words then. Or you didn't change your tone. You were aware of it and thought it'll be fine. It's no big deal. We don't get to determine what's a big deal. The Holy Spirit touches our hearts. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then we're free and cleansed. We don't live in that weight of condemnation. But it's this reviewing of our day. Paul wrote about an open door for him to minister. A great and effective door has been open. And for you to experience Christmas with Jesus, I think there's a great and effective door that is open for us. But it needs to be not accidental. It needs to be intentional and mindful. That we would take time. Here it is, just quickly reviewed. Number one, start your day with Him. Remember, it's not daily devotions. That's not the start, although that's part of our lives. It's this, Lord, I'm inviting you into my day. Then secondly, live in an awareness as best we can of His presence, of His Spirit, God with us. This is how it translates into our lives, being aware of His presence. And then thirdly, at the end of the day, beginning to write down, God, where were you? In my day, I look back and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the times that I sensed the deep awareness of your presence. God, I want to thank you now that you're showing me where you showed up. And please forgive me for these points where I needed a nudge, a course correction, recalibrate my heart, whatever it is. God, and we don't make up stuff. Oh, it's just if he doesn't show you anything, okay. Say, all right. God, thank you. This was just a really successful day. And you will experience Christmas with Jesus, no matter what your Christmas looks like, whether you have lots or little, whether your life is really busy, so much going on, or whether it's more solitary this year. You're going to experience Christmas well because it's with Jesus. There's a text that we use often. It's found in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. There's a text that we will often say to people who we're inviting to begin a relationship with Jesus. And I don't think there's anything wrong with using it in that way. That's just not the context it was written in. It's written, the context is to believers. It's to the church. And it's this phrase that Jesus says, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with them and he with me. Other versions will say, we'll share a meal together. Older version will say, and we will sup together. But it's this point of Jesus saying to the church, would you open the door? And if you do, I will come in. And I feel like this is the great and effective door we have to experience Christmas with Jesus, is that we would open this door. He's standing and knocking and saying, I want to walk with you this Christmas. And it's just simply our choice to say, okay, in the morning I open my life. Throughout the day I'm going to pay attention. And in the evening I'm going to be reminded of how we walk together this day. Just in this last moment, I would like to say that I recognize there are people either watching online or perhaps even here in this room who your life you might look. Remember when I talked about driving? Said, I don't remember how I got here. Maybe your life can be like that. How did I wind up here? I wasn't thinking that life would turn out like this. I didn't think my relationships would turn out like this. I didn't think my marriage would turn out like this. I didn't think my finances would turn out like this. I don't know how I got here, but here I am. Well, this morning, Jesus can make a real difference in your life. For some people, they've never accepted Jesus. And this is a turning point for others. We've accepted and walked with the Lord, but sometimes there's a distance that happens and we haven't been walking so closely. And for others, we just say, week after week after week, I just want to rededicate my life to the Lord. You see, I believe it's not so much where you are. How did I get here? It's not so much where you are. It's where you're headed. What direction are you facing? It's a little bit, pardon the illustration about money, but I think it's a little bit like money. It's not so much where you are, it's what direction are you facing. And so in regards to finances, if you are spending more than you are making, it's only a matter of time before you're going to be in trouble. And conversely, if you are spending less than you are making, it's only a matter of time before you're not going to be in trouble, going to get out of trouble. And I think it's not so much where we are in life as what direction are we facing. Are we facing to follow the Lord? Are we facing away from following the Lord? Loved ones, it's the same thing. It's only a matter of time. And so we have this opportunity to turn and face the Lord. That's repentance. It just means going the other direction, turning. And so I'd like to pray for anyone and for everyone who would say, I'm here in this place and I just need Jesus in my life. I want to turn my direction. I want to repent and turn and face him fully. And walk in the path that he has for me. Scripture says that he will lead us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He says that the path of the righteous is like the fullness of day, or the brightness of dawn. It's like daybreak. It just gets brighter and brighter and brighter till the noon sun. He's got a wonderful path for us. So wherever we are, we can say, Lord, I need you. We turn our direction to him. And it's only a matter of time. Immediately he hears our prayer and he helps us walk out of where we are to the fullness that he has for us. Would you pray with me this morning? And if your heart echoes my words, just pray along in your heart and with your life. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning recognizing that life can be really hard and disappointing, and we can get confused. How did we get to this place? And God, with compassion, I know there are those listening who would say feel like it's all their fault, all the wrong choices and wrong motivation, and if they could go back and fix it, they would. And yet we can't turn the clock back. But Jesus, here we are in this place, and we want to turn and face you. We want to fully face you and follow you. Jesus, we believe that you died on the cross and rose again and you paid the penalty for our sin. We acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. We ask you to come into our lives in every area that we might follow you fully, wholeheartedly, that you might lead us. And that we might walk with you, not just at Christmas, not just in this season, but we might walk with you. So, Lord, we commit our lives to you. We dedicate our lives to you. We turn our lives to you. Please forgive us for every sin and failure and shortcoming that we've had that's contributed to any sense of mess of our lives. Forgive us and heal us and cleanse us and help us now to walk fully and completely facing you in your pathway. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for a fresh start as we rededicate our lives to you. And God, as we look towards this Christmas season, Jesus walking with you, I pray you'd seal in our hearts so we can start our day with you, inviting you into what the day holds. I pray for people that we would really have eyes to see your presence, nearness to us all day long. And as we conclude our day, as the day draws to a close, with thankfulness, we can can just see how you were involved in our lives. Be honored and glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.